is to connect with a professional. There are professional, there are doctors for when you're sick, there's trainers for when you want to get in shape, there's lawyers for when you need legal advice. Just like you would seek a mentor to learn your career and to get to success faster, you need to find a real estate professional if you want to buy a home faster. You need to align with somebody that has the same goals as you and you see does the same things as you want to achieve.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we sit down with David Dipong, a real estate investor who made a remarkable transition from being a private chef to mastering the world of real estate. David shares the pivotal moments and insights that led him to choose this path and how he achieved success in this competitive industry. He also reveals valuable tips for those considering a career shift and offers valuable advice on managing your finances through real estate. If you're looking for inspiration and practical advice, this episode is a must listen. David, thank you so much for taking the time to coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me and helping me share this message to as many people as possible.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. What I like to do is take a walk through memory lane and rediscover your origin story, because I know the journey is long and I'm sure there were some gear that you needed when you started that brought out your essence. That gear might be something you still need or you absolutely don't have to, but who do you see use that gear that didn't work for you?
You're asking what brought me into real estate or what I needed to change earlier in my life to become successful?
The first one.
So what brought me into real estate was I don't want to say trapped. I was a private chef. I was making good money. I was working with a lot of high net worth clients. And what I found out is I didn't have any time to do anything. Mm-hmm. I was there 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, 14 to 16 hours. My most limited resource time was all spent. I couldn't find a girlfriend, a wife. I couldn't have a dog. I couldn't mm-hmm. enjoy myself. I couldn't travel if it wasn't for the job. And not living by design, not crafting a life that I actively enjoyed rather than was just a passenger in because I needed to be where I needed to be at all times, became my mission as I started to get burnt out in my early 20s.
So that's what led you into going into real estate, getting more of that freedom back into your life.
Yes, it was a career where I could still help people. I could still help work with families and build that personal connection while also being able to help them and myself build wealth at the same time and have a life of my own instead of just helping them achieve their goals and never focusing or having a long-term plan for my goals.
Now that's so true, especially that kind of work where you are needed, and if you're not there, things are not working. It's almost like you're an essential cog in the engine that they've developed.
And you know what? Although that I love that profession, I love cooking, it's still very useful in my daily life.
Oh, absolutely.
You're never more than a piece of their machine. You're never more than a service carrier for them. You don't get to do the long-term planning and use that long-term planning and those funds to start going after your life by design because you are so worried about how you're affecting theirs.
Interesting. So as a chef, were you the main chef? Were you managing other chefs? Like was there an upgrade path for you if you had stayed in that business or career?
There are many paths you can take. You can either go back to a restaurant and manage people or during events and catering things for specific families, you would manage other people that you would hire, basically freelance chefs. Mm-hmm. And although the income increased, the time needed increased too. If you just wake up one day with a lot of money in the bank, but no investments, no family, you're not really enjoying your life.
Right.
All of that starts to affect your physical health and your mental health, which are two sides of you. And if both of those are affected negatively, the best you'll ever feel is 50% of your maximum.
I feel that so much. And that's a feeling a lot of people can resonate with, you know, when they're not fulfilled mentally or spiritually, but you're physically doing so much work, but then you're not mentally fulfilled. It's all the fun stuff, but I need time for myself. So that's really interesting. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So let's jump into when you entered the real estate market. I'm sure there was one person or maybe a group of people that inspired you, hey, this is the next path for me.
I took stock of my personal skills. I'm a very analytical individual. I'm good with numbers, budgets. I said, okay, what careers can I apply this to where my skills will flourish? Yeah. I'll get to do the things I'm interested in. And I'll be able to help myself just as much as I help other people.
Yeah.
And after workshopping that with my then girlfriend, now wife, it's important to have other people's input when you're
so
focused on your own stuff. It's good to have an outside viewpoint.
Yeah.
And what all of that did was teach me to take accountability for where I was. It's not anybody else's fault that I wasn't achieving what I wanted to achieve yet. It's not anybody else's fault that I was burnt out or stuck in a job I didn't love anymore.
Yeah.
I had to take accountability and choose to make that change.
I love it. I love it, man. So you're mostly focusing in the Southern California region, LA and Orange County. I actually grew up in that area myself, close to Orange County. I used to work in Irvine. And I think Irvine is one hot market. They continue to rise.
It's one of the ones with the most development. It's got a lot of business. It's got a lot of parks. It's got a lot of nice residential neighborhoods. And they're still building new townhomes, homes every day. And the supply, because of people coming from in and out of the country to purchase and live in California, the demand is so high because the supply can't catch up, which means it's a growing market, which also means prices go up.
That's so true. And we always had the dream like, okay, it'd be awesome. It'd be fun to go and live in Irvine. But that never happened. I mean, I did work in Irvine for a while. Some questions that I want to ask around the real estate market, because one of the things that so for the longest time, you know, we lived in a home, we owned a home, but when I moved out, we only rented. And some, I don't know who I was listening to, but it's almost like when you own a home, you're the liable party. Like it's more of a liability than an investment. Can you talk on that specific part? Or like,
I don't see it that way. And it may be because I'm a little bit biased, but if you take a look at that home and you haven't kept that home and you look at the value of that home now versus when you bought it and you look at what it can get for rent now versus what how you bought it, there are ways to limit your liability. The tenants need to have renter's insurance. You need to have you need to be on the insurance as additional insured. Right. You can put the property in a trust or a limited liability company that limits your liability. There are things you can do so that you're only ever taking one or two calls from the tenants a month or every couple of months, and you're just watching the deposits come in.
Right.
Real estate can seem very scary, like there's a lot for you to do. But having four tenants and four properties that are paid off can completely pay for your retirement.
Oh, 100%.
It can completely pay for your travel. It can completely pay for everything you ever would want. And that's not even counting the millions of dollars in equity you're sitting on.
Sure.
It's just the passive income from the renter. So for a little bit of liability and a little bit of monthly maintenance, a 4-hour work week, I will happily trade that to not have to worry about finances for the last 50 years of my life.
Yeah, that's amazing. So my question was coming from the perspective, if you only own one home, then it's like, okay, you're paying your mortgage, you're just paying, you're not getting any money back. from it. I mean, although you are building equity in that property.
Exactly. So when you pay off a home, if you only have one home, your cost of living is lowered by how much the debt on that home was. Most people, especially in California, that's 40 to 50%. Now you've cut your cost of living by 40 to 50%, which means the cost of living for everyone can double before you'll ever have a strenuous financial time again. If you have two properties paid off, which isn't hard, over two decades even, to get two properties and pay them off, your cost of living will be covered. You might not have extra, but you will be supported, your property will be supported, and you'll be sitting on the total equity in those homes to leverage for future opportunities or college funds or things like that. So you're basically saying, I'm going to protect myself. Nothing bad can ever happen to me because I own and paid off two homes. Right. If you do three, you'll have some financial passive spending income. Or four, feel free to overachieve. But owning and paying off at least two homes is the best way to make sure that you never have a bad financial year, especially after retirement. You'll never have a hardship again that you can't recover from because you invested in them early enough, which is, you know, 30 years to pay it off. Great. But if you buy them in your 20s and 30s, easily paid off before retirement. Now you never have to worry again.
Yeah. So from chef to a real estate investor, as you transitioned, like how quick was that transition? And don't mind me jumping back and forth between the two things that we're talking about.
I had to study and get my license while I was working full time as a chef. And then I chose my brokerage, not based on which one I thought was the best, but by the person who was working there that was achieving success at the level I wanted to be at. Because as many people will realize in their life, business to business, company to company, there's always, it really doesn't matter. There's always going to be standout professionals, professionals that are really great at their job.
Yeah.
And it's not going to matter what company they're at. They're still going to do the best job for you. So I basically chose an apprenticeship where I would be in the trenches for the first 2 years of my career. And I would come out just as good as people who have been in this career for 10 years, 15 years, because I spent all of those hours doing smart work, doing the right work. I didn't just spend all those hours trying to figure it out. I followed a system that was already established to succeed.
I love that. I love that so much. So you found people that were succeeding at the level that you wanted to get. So, you know, you find that role model. So have you, and then you follow like, hey, how can I learn from them immediately? Because the faster you learn from somebody who's already achieving, you already have a list of things not to do because they're going to tell you, hey, don't do this. Don't do this. Because I've been in this space for so long, I can tell you exactly what to avoid and what to focus on.
Absolutely. And what you find out is, I know the 10,000 hour rule is you spend 10,000 hours, you're an expert. But if you spend 10,000 hours doing things wrong or not succeeding, I want the guy who spent 10,000 hours succeeding. Yes. So I chose to work for the guy who has been succeeding for that long and continues to succeed, even though I'm on my own now succeeding. Mm. Because that was the right move for me to branch out and succeed on my own. However, if you're just new and you're not invested in learning from a real expert, you're just guessing. And you can't be guessing with people's most important investments of their life, their home.
Yeah, I love that. How can folks, let's say, own homes already, and they're like, hey, I own one home. It's not paid off yet. But I want to get into real estate investing so I can start paying off my own, that current home that I own, off faster. Like, what are some of the ways people can get into, let's say, a second home and use it as an investment property?
The easiest way and the least amount of effort on your end is there will always be a time in the first 10 years that you own a property where you refinance to a lower rate, you add some improvements, you do this, you do that. to where the rental income will cover your entire monthly mortgage plus maintenance fees. And that's called the break-even point.
For that some property that I've been living in?
Yes, for that property that you've been living in.
Okay.
Now, any equity that property earns after can be used to purchase the next home. Or anything that you save in the meantime can be purchased for the next home. And then you can move immediately knowing that when you rent this property out, it's not going to be a financial liability anymore. Someone is going to be paying your mortgage and for the income. And then basically you keep doing that process. Maybe 10 years go by, 15 years go by, and suddenly there's enough money in that first property to buy the second while still keeping the monthly payment on the first property below what it makes for rent.
Yeah.
Great. Now it's just a piggy bank. Now you take money out of that one, put it into that one, you move into that one until it hits that break-even point as well.
Sure.
And then now in 10 years, you have two properties to do that with. And you could perhaps buy a third and fourth, and you can go however aggressive you would like to be.
Sure.
But if you have three properties and three tenants, not much work to maintain at all, just three people that count on you, that pay you every month to live in your homes. And then you figure out, okay, if I do an extra 10% on this one per month, an extra 20% on this one per month, and an extra 30% on this one per month, they will all be paid off by the time I'm 60. Yeah. I will retire and I will live off the extra income that they provide me for the rest of my life while still having the option to leverage them at any moment to invest in other businesses, companies, investments, opportunities that you want to, because the money will be sitting there rising with the real estate market.
And real estate market is something that keeps rising no matter the time and place. I mean, although we have seen some slumps over in, I think that also comes down to the area and what's happening around there as well.
It's two factors, and you're absolutely right. Over the five-year term, the short year term, there will be ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Over the 15, 30, 45-year term, there will never be a better investment than real estate in a growing area. If you're able to make your life such a way that you will never lose the property, even in the worst-case scenarios, you have a plan to keep it, you will succeed. It's people that lost the opportunity or were forced to sell at an inopportune time that suffered during those short-term downtrends.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that because it keeps growing, it's a commodity. It grows with inflation. Mm. Rents have always increased over the last 30 years. Prices have always increased over the last 30 years. So if you make sure that the total monthly excess that your properties produce will be enough to fund your life when you retire, those numbers will keep growing to protect you from inflation and to protect you from the rising cost of living. You won't have to do any of that planning, and you can just keep putting your extra income from then on into other investments to diversify because you'll know those three properties have you, or those four properties have you. They have taken care of you in the worst of times. Yeah. Now you can invest in stocks, bonds, and all the other stuff to hedge, to make sure that somehow every one of the years that you are alive, one of your investments will be doing well.
That's really good advice, and I appreciate that. Let me think. I'm thinking about something. That the entire conversation has been very revealing. I'm not that huge into real estate, but I've learned a little bit things here and there. I'm more into the tech side of things, like building sites and, you know, being in the tech world for so long. So this is really good knowledge, you know, good philosophies and good actionable items to live by, especially when you own a home.
It's nothing groundbreaking. Everybody knows that diversifying investments can protect you from risk. Everybody knows that having passive income helps you.
Right.
However, with a long-term plan and a professional who helps you and goes, okay, you want to be able to spend $6,000 per month net in retirement? Great. Yeah. You'll need these four properties. And these four properties, based on your income, will take you 20 years to buy. And if we start now, you know, you can have all those by the age of 40 and pay them off by the age of 60. And the rest of the time, you're either saving money or you're investing in other things. But because you gave the most important limited resource, which is time, to your homes, they will succeed. Buying them last means your kids are going to benefit. But buying them first and giving them time means you're going to benefit.
That's really interesting. I love that. All right, let's take a quick break. And we so when we get back, you're going to share three hacks to share with the audience how they can use their homes for generational wealth building. Ooh. Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with Ecamm Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm and download your studio today. Start creating with Ecamm Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with David DePong about real estate investment, and he's got some really amazing insights. So good that he's got three quick hacks for you to think about how to get into real estate investment and make generational wealth. David, take it away.
Great. The first hack I want to encourage people to use is that every one of their areas has what's called down payment assistance programs. If you believe that saving the down payment is going to be the hardest or the biggest challenge that you have in your life, there's going to be programs that take anywhere between 2 months and 2 years to qualify for, because you have to wait in line with all of the other people that need those programs. You're already going to live all that time. You may as well be in line for these tools that can help you buy your first home, the home that's going to build the wealth that will allow you to buy your second, third, and fourth, while still trying to save on your end to make your to give yourself the best possible chance to succeed. These tools exist for a reason. It's not just you wake up one day, have to have 20% of your home's purchase price in the bank, and if you don't, you can never buy a home. There are loopholes, there are tools you can use, and there are risk-averse strategies you can use to make sure that you get these homes. The second hack would be to buy a 2-unit or a 3-unit or a 4-unit, so you're only responsible for 50, 75, or 25% of the total mortgage. The additional tenants are going to help cover just in case you have vacancies, but you can rent out a room and save money while doing that. You can say $10,000 for a fourplex per month, and three of the units pay $7,500, and you rent the last one for $2,500 a month. Well, maybe that's too expensive for you, but you rent one of the rooms and you have a roommate in your unit. And now you own a property worth $500,000 to $800,000 total, and you're only paying $1,500 a month to rent. You can use those first few years to save up 6 months savings to account for vacancies and things in your property. And then you can leverage the equity and appreciation of that property in 5 to 10 years to buy a second or third property. So you're not responsible coming out of pocket for all of these properties, for all of these expensive properties. You are leveraging the system, which allows you to leverage real estate more than anything else because it's good debt. The last hack is to connect with a professional. There are doctors for when you're sick, there's trainers for when you want to get in shape, there's lawyers for when you need legal advice. Just like you would seek a mentor to learn your career and to get to success faster, you need to find a real estate professional. If you want to buy a home faster, you need to align with somebody that has the same goals as you, and you see does the same things as you want to achieve every day for multiple clients. By doing that and taking accountability in the choice of professional you use for each one of those, sections of life that you want to improve: mental health, physical health, real estate wealth, you know, relationships in your life. You have more control, and there's almost no way somebody can stop you from succeeding, because what you focus on expands.
And those were really amazing hacks. And I like the fact that there are programs available from the government. You have to wait in line, but there are available for us to be able to afford our first home. This is really, really powerful, because having that home gives you that mental peace that it is your own home, right? It is your own place that you call a home.
Yes, you're never going to wake up and find that your landlord's selling it and you have to leave in 30 days. You're never going to wake up and suddenly owe twice as much money per month because rents have increased on your home. Yep. You buy a home, you've consistently made your monthly payment, and then when you're done paying it off, your cost of living drops exponentially.
Yeah.
So you have the options now to use that extra money to live a life by design, instead of just a life to survive, a paycheck to paycheck, trapped in the 9-to-5 cycle that most of us find ourselves in.
The rat race, right? How do you get out of the rat race?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the long-term benefits of working with a real estate professional like yourself?
The long-term benefits are building a relationship with somebody gets you more consistent outcomes. Real estate is a very outcome-based profession. It's unlike any of those other professionals I mentioned, like trainers, doctors, lawyers, who you pay for their time regardless of whether they actually achieve your goals or not. If you build a relationship with one real estate professional and they continue to get and exceed your goals and help you achieve your goals every few years, you now trust them. It's much easier and much faster to go from needing to buy another home to getting it. If you bounce around and try to do it yourself, or learn everything you need to do it yourself, and bounce from agent to agent and mix up your results, you're basically gambling. You need a proper foundation. You need somebody that knows what they're doing, and you need to leverage them so that you can spend all of the hours of your week doing the things that you specialize in, doing the career that you're an expert in, spending time with the family that needs you.
That's really good. I like that a lot, because human beings, we are social animals, and we like to build connections. We like to build relations. That's why we have friendships that last years and years. You still have friends from high school. You still have friends from college. You have friends from the different events that you went together, or from work. And even when you're into sports, and you know, you keep connection with those people because you've built that bond. So finding working with a professional like yourself, you're building that relationship, and then you each get to understand each other. Okay, what's your outcome look like? Oh, I need to have 4 homes. Okay, I know exactly what Junaid is thinking about. And if anything comes in the market, I can immediately inform him, like, hey, here's something available. And I know based on where you are, this could be something that you can get into.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is we like to have somebody we can trust, because when we go to the person we can trust for our thing, it feels good. When we go to the handyman we trust for a repair, we know it's going to get done. When we go to the doctor that we trust, we know we're going to get the best advice. And it takes points off this mental capacity that you have each day where you're like, okay, that's taken care of. Let me focus my limited availability today on the things I need to accomplish, on the career goals I have, on the relationship goals I have, and not waste your time trying to be an expert at everything, because you're just not going to be.
Well, thank you so much, David. This was so much fun. Let's jump right into the rapid fire questions. All right. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
I wish I got into golf. Almost everybody I know has business meetings. They love it. It's great exercise. And it's just never something I picked up. It's just, I wish I could. There's too many clubs. It's going to take me a couple months to figure that one out.
Sure. Nice, man. Yeah, that's something that I didn't get into either. But I have played maybe a couple of rounds of golf here and there, you know, just shooting the shooting the yards or yardage and whatnot. But it's really interesting. We met this one guy who was actually trainer for the trainers. Like, he was really good, and he gave me some really good tips. Nice. I love it. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
When I was a child, I actually, funny enough, wanted to be a private chef. And then I achieved that. And then years into that and working 90 hours a week, I was maybe I need to revisit my goals. I loved it. I got to travel. I got to cook. Yeah. I got to do all this stuff. But you find out you're a person. You're a person that changes. And you go, well, this wasn't exactly what I thought it would be. Let me try to adjust into something else.
I love it. I love it. But now you're a private chef for your own home, right?
Now I'm a private chef for my wife, and she loves it.
There we go. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
You know what? I might be a big nerd, but I love those Marvel movies.
Oh, yes.
The whole Avengers thing, being at the age, the time I grew up with comic books and the cartoons and all that, I just got so excited when those started becoming a thing early 2000s.
Yes. Yes, I totally love those ones as well. And that leads us to the next question. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, man. What movie would I choose if I was able to play it? I would probably pick something like one of the classics, like Fight Club or The Departed, something that American History X, something that everybody in the country knows, even if they haven't seen it in a while, even if they haven't heard it. They're like, oh, I know Fight Club. No, yeah, they're like, oh, I've heard of that. I would want to be in a cultural touchstone that no matter when you were born, you were like, oh, I saw that movie. It's a good movie.
Nice. I love it. All right. So next up, we asked about favorite movie, right?
Yes.
Favorite movie. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it? So you said it would be something in that space. All right. Fix this past. Can you please fix this, Bina? Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, next question. Your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero would probably be, and I'm going to call it Batman.
Okay.
Not only because he's cool and a little bit scary and gothic and all that, but it exemplifies how much potential we have. He's not special. He took thousands and thousands of basic ordinary steps to get where he also had a bit of money, but it shows that if you just do the work, if you take the steps, if you get to that point, you can succeed.
And I love that. He is one of my favorite heroes as well. Next up and last question, if you were a board game, what would it be?
That's a good question. No one's ever asked me that. I think I would be Trivial Pursuit. Because I found, and I don't want to, it's a rapid fire, so I don't want to get too deep into it.
Sure.
But I found that when you are curious about your own success, when you are excited about learning about areas of your life that you need to succeed in, reading any amount of books, applying any amount of steps is easy. When something's attractive to you, when you want it for yourself, it's easy. It's when somebody else is making you do a thing you don't want to do that it feels like it's a chore. It feels like it's taking forever. It feels uncomfortable.
It does. It does. That's really interesting because currently I'm teaching high school students intro to business, and it feels like that it's... Like 50% of the students said, oh, I didn't know I was going to be in this class. I was forced to it. You know, it was picked for me. Like, all right, that's cool. I'm just going to still power through my teaching.
This but if like you walked each of them back and you said, hey, what's your goal?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I want to make this much money. And you're like, okay, great. To make that much money, you need to earn this much money.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at businesses that average that income per year. And if you made it about achieving their unique goals, maybe they would say, Wow, what do I need to do to get that? Well, okay, yeah. Here's three books you could read. Start there. But right now, it's just a vague business. Like right now, they can't see it. They need,
they don't see
the
it,
younger
yeah.
you are, the more help you need seeing and planning the long-term plan. Mm. Because the short-term is the only thing you've ever known.
That's so true. Thank you for that. I'm going to use that for the next class because it's tomorrow.
Let me know how it works.
Absolutely, man. Well, David, where can superpreneurs find you?
My website is the best place to get all of my contact info, the phone number, email, addresses. It's Dipong Real Estate, so my name, and then realestate, all one word, .com. And I'd make time every week to review questions that come in through email and to schedule calls or video calls with people who might want to learn more about a topic.
Nice.
And who they could go to in their area, if their area isn't mine, to start learning more about these goals. Because it's never, there's never any obligation, but yeah. I like to tell my clients and I tell my friends, planning is free. Mistakes cost money.
That's right. That is so true. Oh my God. All right, man.
Planning,
thank you so much.
Reach out, start planning, but don't pay money for, because you made a mistake that you could have easily avoided with some planning.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, David. We'll catch you in the next episode. Have a great one.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.